Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop WMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. With Election Day only about 4 months away, President Barack Obama and presumed Republican candidate Mitt Romney have kicked their campaigns into high gear. The week so far seems to be a big loser for Romney, who topped the headlines not for suggesting bold policy changes, but for a series of campaign gaffes that called into question his stances on race in America and international relations. Meanwhile, today in the New York Times reports that a new poll from Quinnipiac University, CBS, and the Times shows the president with an edge over Romney in the purple states of Ohio, Florida, and Pennsylvania. However, while Obama seems to have strong support among independent voters in Pennsylvania, they are closely split in the Buckeye and Sunshine states. Today, we want your take on the election thus far. Does this week's coverage of Romney's gaffes make him a less viable candidate? Do the polls matter at this point in the election cycle? And of course, we want to know who you would vote for if the election was tomorrow. Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. Phones are already, two people are on the phones already, 1-800-348-2551, or tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop. You can tweet us again at WAMC Vox Pop. So there you are, your show. I'm here to facilitate things, and we appreciate your being with us. And let's go to Ron in Pittsfield. Ron, you're on.
Hi there.
Hey.
I hear that the edge that Obama has in these other states is because of likability. And I would suggest if I were going to advise Mr. Obama, I would tell him to go on all of these talk shows and, you know, face the press, the hostile press, because a lot of his ideas, for instance, they say his policies are a failure. Well, they haven't passed anything in the Congress for 2 years, so his policies are largely on hold. And I think if he would explain things like the health care, the Obamacare, that more people would like it. And it would also show that Romney isn't facing any hostile questions, especially about taxes or anything else.
Do you think, Ron, that Hannity's and the like, you know, who are the puppets of the people, the Murdochs and the rest who own things, do you think they'd give him an even break?
Well, I think he could... I'm pretty sure he could hold his own if he sat right there in front of him. I know he's sat down with O'Reilly, but...
One-on-one, he could beat the hell out of any of them.
Yeah, I think...
But if they got six guys sitting there giving him a hard time, I don't know.
Yeah, but I think if he was right there across the desk from Hannity and others like that, and these radio shows, you probably know that every major city you go into,
sure,
there's... right-wing radio,
sure,
hating everything that Obama has done.
Mm-hmm.
And just for instance, they're given this hatred over Obamacare, and here the thing comes out of the Heritage Foundation, and it comes out of Massachusetts, where it seems to be doing okay.
You know, Ron, you make a lot of sense. This guy, of course, Obama, is grace under pressure. And Romney is anything but grace. Grace under pressure, which is why his top PR guy was cursing the press, cursing them, and telling them to do unnatural behavioral things this week. And that doesn't help him. I also, maybe it's my impression, but I have the impression of Obama as being in control of his own space, but not Romney, who I think comes off as a bit smarmy.
Yeah, and I think the more exposure that Mr. Obama has in front of sharp questions shows that contrast that I don't think Romney can handle things. He says weird things like, I'm not going to go to the dressage competition. And then that time up in New Hampshire, he sits down, and these cupcakes look awfully cheesy and like they come from 7-Eleven. Well, why would you come up with such... absurd.
Well, you comment. Come because you come from a different social class. Hey, Ron, I really love what you said today. It makes a great deal of sense. I don't know that I fully agree with it, but you know, it's the kind of thing that will get people to talk about it. And I think there's a great deal of wisdom in what you say. So thanks, Ron, for calling. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Let's go to Jim in Kingston. Jim, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I just like to say they're not covering the issues at all. This has become a total gotcha game. and the money that is pouring in, I think once the conventions are over, the amount of money, and I don't know if you remember when Colbert did his little protest in Washington.
Do I remember it? I was there.
Oh, great. So was I. But do you remember the people walking around and they had the sign and it said three-word phrases?
Yeah.
They were walking through the... And that's what I think we're down to.
Yeah, but don't you get the feeling, Jim, that there are substantive differences between the two guys and the two tickets, and that people know it, that the Democrats, for example, are more willing to spend on social programs than the Republicans are, for example, and are more expansive in terms of people's, people's basic civil rights than the Republicans are?
Oh, yeah. But the thing is, are we sitting down and actually talking about it and saying, this is what I'll do, this is what I'll do, this is the direction I'd like to take us in? Instead, it's all, look at Romney on his trip. It's all about gotcha.
Well, Jim, do you think that the press was wrong to approach Romney that way and to do the gotcha thing? Because clearly the Romney people are convinced that the reporters are out to get them.
Well, he doesn't have to be convinced. He puts his foot in it more often than I've seen any presidential
candidate. But don't you think, though, that that's very important, as well as the programmatic aspects of this? This guy has to be thinking on his feet every minute while he's president of the United States. So have to have a sense, are you going to put your foot in it every time you open your mouth?
Yeah, and it does show how weak he really is, but it also, with the support he has, it's kind of like the way it was with Obama. The Republicans are anybody but Obama.
Yeah. Okay, hey, listen, Jim, I thank you. The lines are loading up. There's actually one free phone, and that's for somebody else who's listening, and I thank you, Jim, for calling. Appreciate it.
Keep it going, Alan.
Thanks again. Let's go Tim in Gilderland. Okay, Tim, you're on.
Alan, Romney, in your experience as in political science, have you ever seen anybody or talked to anybody or has the record showed that this candidate as a challenger cannot win with unemployment over 8%? And actually, that's the nominal rate.
Okay, let me just get this straight. I think what you're saying, I just want to get it straight in my addled mind, is that under normal circumstances, if it weren't Romney, Obama would be toast.
He would be toast. And the real unemployment is probably closer to 15. It's probably more than that. And you would think that would be sort of the death knell for Obama. But But Romney keeps shooting himself in the foot.
Can somebody take anything that anybody says and make something bad out of it? I mean, look.
No, you're being too nice.
Am I?
Yeah.
That's something I'm seldom accused of.
Well, let me be the first, because he goes to Britain and he insults the British over the Olympics, and I don't know what he did in Israel, but that tour should have been basically photo ops and. Say nice things and get.
Tim, you know what was happening there. This guy thinks that he's one of the things he has to run on is his stewardship of his Olympics when he was in charge. So he goes there and he can't resist saying they're not doing it well. Parenthesis, unspoken, like I did. That's what was going on there.
Yeah, but that's so unfortunate because he should have just gone to London and said nice things and got his picture taken with David Cameron. And said nice things and said, I'm looking forward to a great Olympics and, let's get on with it. And I look forward to a great relationship with the British people and so on. But he didn't do that. Instead, he screwed it up.
He did. Hey, Tim, I want to let you go because I want to give everybody a chance.
I know you've got other people. All right, thanks.
Thanks, Tim, for calling. Appreciate it. Let's go to Joseph in Amherst. Joseph, no H in Amherst.
Hey, listen, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I find myself once again in a position of defending people I'm not fond of.
Okay.
The things Romney said were ultimately not completely inappropriate.
Uh-huh.
I mean, when you consider that the government had to drag in nearly 4,000 troops
Yep.
When the outsourced security company failed to provide according to the terms of its contract, that doesn't sound to me like prepared. And to suggest that the Palestinians, whose average annual income per capita is $1,300, can compete with the Israelis, which is $31,000, in the same part of the world, in the same desert, when one's created a city and the other's created a wasteland, I'm not sure that's an inappropriate comment. I think it's just a realistic one.
Yeah. Joseph, two things on that, and then we're up against the post here. But let me tell you, thing number one is that when you're a guest, you have to behave differently than if you're a social observer, you know, on the scene. So he was a guest, and his job was to make nice. And instead, he becomes a social commentator on the viability of the Olympics. And I think it's as if somebody came to your house and said, you know, your kid needs a bath. You know, that's a little bit much. Now, on the other thing, I think they thought they were being very smart. Because on the Israeli thing, you know, there's a lot more support for Israel in this country, I believe, than there are for the, and I've talked to many Congress people about this who have been very blunt about it with me, for the Arabs. So therefore, I think he thought this was going to be a good thing. He got a lot of support as a result of it. He never expected that somebody was going to say to him, hey, you know, this is international relations. We have to have all these people. You're going to be the president. How are you going to get them to sit down with each other? And I think it was a cheap trick, and it didn't work.
Yeah, my only thing there is I think Obama should be saying that, because we need to realize that we're not playing on a level field. And to be honest with you, under no circumstances can I actually vote for Romney, because the next president's going to pick maybe between one and three Supreme Court justices.
Absolutely, Joseph. Hey,
and on that condition alone, I got to go Democratic every time.
Joseph, thank you very much for your call. I really appreciate it. You're a smart guy. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
We're going to take a very short break. We'll be right back. Elaine and Beth and Jim and Brett. I want you to stay right there. Go ahead.
Support for WAMC comes from Hildene, the Lincoln Family Home, Manchester, Vermont. The Rivalry with Dorset Theater Festival, reading and panel discussion, August 21st, 6:30 p.m., hildene.org. New York State Tobacco-Free Community Partners, working to reduce youth and adult smoking rates across the state and help save lives. New York State Tobacco-Free Community Partners at smokefreecapital.org. SPAC, presenting the 22nd Annual Saratoga Chamber Music Festival, sponsored by WAMC and WMHT, featuring the Worcester Quartet, performing Boccherini, Debussy, and Dachnani, Tuesday, August 7th in the Spa Little Theater, SPAC.org. Healy Brothers Chevrolet Poughkeepsie, offering the 42 MPG EcoCruise and the 32 MPG Equinox Crossover SUV, HealyBrothers.com. Peekamoose Restaurant and Tap Room, Big Indian, New York, featuring farmhouse cuisine in a modern country setting, serving dinner Thursday through Monday beginning at 4 p.m., PeekamooseRestaurant.com. And SUNY IT, offering online graduate degree programs, including information design and technology, graduate.sunyit.edu.
And we are back. Let's go to Elaine in Highland, New York. Okay, Elaine, how about my old stomping grounds of Highland, right outside of New Paltz, or is it the other way around? Go ahead, Elaine.
No, I'm between New Paltz and Poughkeepsie.
I know where you are. Go ahead.
One comment that I'd like to make, one observation I'd like to point out, is this. It doesn't matter whether it's Barack Obama or Mitt Romney you know, $100 billion worth of campaign ads promising you the moon, the sun, Mars, and whatever, one person cannot change the attitude of the Senate or the congressman.
Okay, Elaine, let me just stop you right there and ask you, because you had a predecessor caller who said he can't vote for Romney because he gets to select three more justices on the Supreme Court. And considering things like Citizens United and some of the other decisions, some of which I think are terrible, you mean to say that those three alone aren't a game changer?
No, they are. But I think that I get the impression, and it terrifies the daylights out of me, that a lot of the American people have their head under the bedstead or something, and they think that the one person that they vote for president can make all these sweeping changes, and it's impossible, number one. And number two, I wouldn't vote for Mitt Romney if he paid me.
Wait a second, Elaine. Let's say Mitt Romney came knocking at your door and gave you $1 million. You wouldn't vote for him?
No, because
what if he gave you $5 million? Would you vote for him?
I wouldn't care if he gave me $5 billion.
Okay.
I am offended by the fact that he touts that he paid his 13.5% income tax, which is all he was entitled to pay. I am offended that he has totally distanced himself from the legislation that he had passed for health care in Massachusetts. And I think that, I don't know, sometimes I think he flew in from Neptune or something, because I don't think that a lot of the things that he says or purports to believe in are based in any fact or reality. And the thought of him becoming president terrifies me and makes me want to move to the land of my ancestors, which is Poland.
Elaine, thank you for your wonderful call, for your words of wisdom. I appreciate it. As you know, we take calls on both sides of all of these issues, and I think we have one coming up. Hold on a second. Thanks a lot. Let's go to Beth in Niskayuna. Okay, Beth, I think you may have a little different take, right?
Yes, I do, and I know you're going to argue with me, but I'm just doing this off the top of my head. So, listening to as much media as I can, because I'm a fanatic, I understand it was the Democrats who came up with the big tax breaks for businesses in the 70s and late 60s. The Democratic Party cut the TAP tax rate for the wealthy in the 60s and 70s. The Democrats are the ones that cut welfare, and it's the Democrats under this new health law that cut Medicare. And by not raising the poverty line, which is what they should have done, because we're at those 1960s level poverty line, what they're doing is really nothing by expanding the Medicaid up to, you know, what is it, $13,000 a year?
Beth, I want to ask you a question. Considering all you've just said, and because there are so many people behind you, what are you going to do in this election?
I'm not voting Democrat. They have a very racist history, Alan.
So
I know you know that.
So you're going to vote for the Republicans?
I may do that, because they talk a good talk.
You think what you say,
it's what you do.
Cuomo cut
taxes for people making $40,000 and up? Yeah. What is that?
You think Lyndon Johnson with Medicare?
No, I'm not going way back.
Well, no, you have gone way back.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I'm going off the top of my head. I'm not a PhD. Remember that.
Okay, fair enough. Because PhDs don't know as much as you do.
hey,
Beth, we're going to let you go. Thank you, dear. Thanks.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Thanks. Let's go to Jim in Pittsfield. Jim, you're on.
Yeah, hey, Alan. How are you?
Good.
First off, go back to a couple calls that you couple calls back. It would take a lot for me to vote for Mitt Romney, but $5 million might do it, Alan. So.
Yeah, you know, you never know till the guy's got the money in your hand. Go ahead.
Exactly. But you know, one thing that no one's brought up, and I hear it out there all the time, and you certainly don't hear it on Fox News, is a lot of the people on the right still have a very hard time accepting a black man as president. So,
now, Jim, I am so glad you've brought this up, because the New York Times today has Obama leading in several states. I am so happy that we have an African-American who is the president of the United States. I think it takes us to a point around the world and with him and the rest of it. And yet,
I agree.
And yet you go to North Carolina and you see the polls showing, or David Duke when he was down in Louisiana, and he couldn't win. Everybody was against him, and he damn near became the governor. You know,
yeah.
I think people do something different, and I think race is one of those terrible, insidious, awful issues that can really hurt Obama in this. And I think you're right on the money.
When I'm out and about, people talking to me, and you know, I won't mention what they say, but they do mention there's a lot of people out there with a problem with a black man as president. I think, you know, I voted for him first time around, gonna vote for him second time around. I'm from Massachusetts, and not a big fan of Romney, as I think many of us in Massachusetts aren't, you know. So
Hey, Jim, thank you for that. I appreciate you introducing that subject because it's a tough one, but it probably deserves to be talked about. Thank you,
it
Jim.
It does, unfortunately. Yeah. Thank you, Alan.
Yeah,
bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Let's go to Brett in Albany. Brett, you're on.
Hi, can you hear me okay, Alan? You're
perfectly.
Awesome. It's great to talk to you. I want to start off by saying I'm 25 years old, and I'm from Texas, and my vote will be counted in Texas. And for that reason, I would be a cheap date for Romney. If he gave me $100 and a turkey sandwich, I'd vote for him because Obama probably lost that state anyway.
Well, maybe just the turkey sandwich. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, perhaps just the turkey sandwich. Okay, I wanted to start by saying most of the people I associate with are basically, for lack of a better way to say it, hate Obama. You know, reminding you, I'm from Texas. The friends that I do have that hate Obama will all vote against him, and they talk about they can't wait to vote against him. The friends that I have from Texas that don't so much hate Obama, maybe not fully support him, but might vote for him, are also the kind of people that talk about, my vote doesn't matter anyway, the government is going to do whatever it wants, it doesn't matter who's president, which I completely disagree with them. Those are the kind of people that would be on the fence about Obama, and they refuse to vote. So, I've heard you talk several times about a lot of the Democrats and stuff like that won't go out to vote, or the younger generation won't go vote. And I think that's where you're right, is Obama is going to lose a lot of the on the fence votes because those are also the people who don't care.
Okay, but you, Brett, let me just speak to that for a moment. You're absolutely right. If he doesn't get those folks, he'll lose the election.
Right.
And I think there are a lot of young people who really don't understand what the issues are in this election. But when I was teaching for all of those years, still am, of course, I would ask the question, how many are you going to vote this time? And then the follow-up question, which is, where are you going to do that? if younger people don't vote in this election, which was why, of course, he was going around talking about the interest rate on the student loans, because he wanted to bring it home to them that a single decision can indeed count and make a big difference in your life. So I think you make a good point. Texas, I suspect, for Obama is a lost cause. I don't understand what's happening in Texas. Last night, there was a primary, and as you know, the Tea Party candidate in the Republican Party swamped the so-called establishment Republican, and he wasn't certainly any raving left-winger. You know, I've spent a lot of time in Texas. My boy Jonas was there in Austin, which, of course, is not typical, but also in Houston, and it is a state that I consider to be going right and as far right as they possibly can, as fast as they can.
I agree, and we don't have time, but there's lots of very wonderful, hilarious stories I get from people down there on the far right. Mm-hmm. And just to let you know, I will be voting for Obama, and the primary reason for that would be the healthcare law. You know, Romney doesn't seem awful. I wouldn't have voted for him anyway, but he doesn't seem awful to me. Until he said that day one he would try to repeal Obamacare.
Really Romney care. Hey,
right.
Hey, Brett, I got to let you go. Thank you very much. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You. Yep.
Let's go to James Monroe in Monroe. James, you're on.
Yes, hi. Thank you, Alan. Two quick points I'd like to make that I think is true. I could be wrong. Is that a long time ago when they built all these dams for electrical high down south, they moved a lot of the industry down south, and the Republicans really took over a lot of voting power down there because they controlled the economy.
Yeah,
and down there, there's still you talk about the class, the prejudice of people down there. There's a lot of places they're still mad at being a liberal. It's like being a damn Yankee, and they're still rebels down there.
Well, I mentioned Lyndon Johnson before. Lyndon Johnson knew that by passing the Civil Rights Act, which he did, the Voting Rights Act, and he was one of the only guys who could have done it as a Southerner, and the way he exercised power, let me just say, he lost the South, and he knew he would. Hey, James, going to let you go. Thank you very much. Okay, let's go to Louise in Kingston. Louise, you're on.
Yes. The women in the United States have to wake up, and also the senior citizens have to wake up, because this is going to be something that's going to change everyone's life, and it's not for the good.
So,
the Tea Party was once for freedom, and now it's just depression. They're taking away all the women's rights, left it everywhere they go. They take away the women's rights for anything in this country.
What is it, Louise, that you see specifically?
The abortion laws, all the laws they're changing, all that stuff that they're doing to women. And I'm not in that age group, but I can tell you I'm a senior, and I think that that's going to be the worst thing that could happen is the Paul Ryan budget. And I think they better start waking up.
Well, do you think they're going to actually turn out? Women will turn out? Because that's the issue. They don't turn out, he loses.
I certainly hope so. I hope that, and I hope that the seniors wake up. They will definitely lose money with this Paul Ryan budget.
Thank you, Louise. Appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to Beth in Montgomery. Beth in Montgomery, you're on. And by the way, there are two free phones right now. 1-800-348-2551. Okay, Beth, you're on. Beth.
Yes. Hi. How are you? I just want to say one thing.
Sure.
Obama has been proven to be a politician.
Yep.
A lousy Chicago politician. He lied about everything.
Whoa.
I know we disagree with this, but
yeah.
He ran on hope and change, and we're getting more of the same garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being in Washington doing his job, he's raising money. And I know why he has to do that. He wants to be elected. But you know, if he'd done a better job being president and for the first 2 years when there was a Democratic majority in the Senate and the House of Representatives, he could have gotten a lot more and more positive things accomplished that he could run on rather than his negative ads. And it's been proven people just are not paying attention to any of those ads that are negative on both sides.
No, it's been proven quite the opposite. It's been proven again and again that they work.
No, not
it's unfortunate.
People are just turning them off.
It's unfortunate. The reason they do it is because they work. As for what you said about Obama, I want to just come back at you and say there's something to what you said. In other words, I happen to believe, as one person with one mind, I think, is that you know, had he done Medicare for all, even if he didn't get it, it would have engage the troops. It would have been Rooseveltian in terms of approach, and he could have gotten more people, more troops out there for him. On the other hand, Beth, for whatever it's worth, yeah, right now he is winning in these polls.
They ask other people. You know, there are a lot of people that are playing it close to the chest that are not telling people
possible
how they're going to vote.
Possibly.
And I believe that. And I just want to say one more thing about
sure
the bust of Churchill. You know, everyone forgets what he's, you know, the bust of Churchill was removed from the White House office. And there was an article today in the paper that they realized it was a gaffe at that time. Nobody pointed out anything about it because it wasn't a big thing in this country, but it was a big thing over in England when it happened, when he first got elected.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, but Beth, we're a little off subject. I want to ask you a question. What are you going to do in this election?
Well, I'm not thrilled with Romney, but I don't think Obama's the man. I think we're going downhill quickly. He promised to cut the deficit.
So you don't care about Romney and the Supreme Court, for example?
It doesn't matter who gets on the Supreme Court.
It doesn't matter.
Look what happened with health care. It doesn't matter if people are Republican or Democrat. They become their own people. You know that.
No,
and
I know. No, Beth, I know exactly the opposite. John Roberts was a genius in the way that he did this. He made it clear he didn't like the health care law. I think that the reputation of the court was there. But I think when you take a look at Citizens United and some of these other things, it makes a huge difference who's sitting on the Supreme Court.
I think it's more important who we elect to Congress and to get our people care about everybody, everyday people.
Beth,
and the problem is everyone only cares about the people that give them money. Obama goes around.
Well, you made that point. You made that point already.
I just want to point out that.
You did make that point. Beth, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Right. Let's go to Paul in Amherst. Paul in Amherst, you're on.
Yeah, it does matter who's on the Supreme Court. It absolutely does matter. It's one thing I'm very concerned about, but I'm going to be doing this November exactly what I did 4 years ago, and I'm likely to just leave the presidential selection blank when I go vote. Or although I'm also thinking of voting for Jill Stein. The thing people I think have to bear in mind is that, well, Luke, you know, without getting ahead of myself, I was not able to vote for Obama for a bunch of reasons. I knew that his talk about clean coal was nonsense. I knew that his talk about closing Gitmo was nonsense, and I just couldn't vote for someone who was not going to try to hold accountable the criminal treasonous nutbags that have launched us into a permanent state of war. Please remember, people, we have over 2 million people in prison. We have over 5 million people on probation and parole, and there is no proposals to end the disastrous drug war. If we vote for either one of the major party candidates, we are going to get more of the same. I do believe Obama is the lesser evil, but we can't vote like that anymore.
Okay, Paul, thank you. We have to take a break, and we appreciate your call. And it's a very important point you're trying to make, which is, I don't agree with it, of course, but that...
What don't you agree with?
I think there are decisions that you have to make. And if you decide that you got a Supreme Court, when you vote for Jill Stein, she's not going to be the president, and she's not going to be putting people onto the Supreme Court. So if your vote, which I would see as nominally a vote that center-left or left, would ordinarily go to Obama, you're helping to elect Romney. That's the way I see it.
Not my responsibility.
Okay, no, I hear you. I think it is. Thanks an awful lot. I appreciate it a lot. Bye.
Nonsense. Yeah. That's nonsense.
Oh, no, I don't use words like nonsense when you call, so I don't like it when you use words like that when I say something, okay? For whatever it's worth.
Okay.
You know, I mean, in other words, nonsense is not a good word. I respect the fact that you've called. I respect the fact that you gave an opinion. I even thanked you for that opinion, but I didn't say you were it was nonsense.
And in this format, when you can't sort of elaborate further and time is limited,
you may as well tell somebody that he's full of nonsense. Thanks. Okay, 1-800-348-2551.
Support for WAMC comes from Storm King Art Center, a 500-acre sculpture park in the heart of the Hudson Valley, open Wednesday to Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., and until 8 p.m. Saturdays, now presenting Light and Landscape, stormking.org. Windy Hill Farm, Orchard, Nursery, and Garden Shops, Route 7, Great Barrington, featuring pick-your-own and fresh-picked blueberries from Windy Hill's fields, windyhillfarminc.com. The Berkshire Choral Festival, performing Schubert and Haydn, Saturday at 7:30 p.m., Berkshire School, Sheffield, Massachusetts, choralfest.org. Chez Albert, Amherst, Massachusetts, featuring dishes inspired by French country cooking and introducing a new and expanded location at 178 North Pleasant Street, chezalbert.net for menu. Lori Stillwell, CPA PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond, stillwellcpa.com. And the Red Line Inn, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, offering accommodations for celebrations and business events with access to the Berkshire's outdoor activities, redlineinn.com.
one 800 348 2551 1-800-348-2551. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to thank you all friends for the civility which you approach these topics with. I think that's what distinguishes us from the others, and I really appreciate it a lot. Okay, we have one free phone right now. One free phone? No, we don't either. Let's go to Bruce in West Stockbridge. Yeah, we have one free phone. Bruce in West Stockbridge. Go ahead.
Hi, Alan. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'd like to ask you to explain self-interest, because I get the one percenters who like Romney, certainly their self-interest. But when people are told that costs of education are going to be reduced, roads are going to be cut back, benefits are going to be cut back, and they vote for people like that, that I don't understand. And this is your field. Explain how people can vote against their own self-interest in when they're being told exactly that they're going to lose out.
Okay, Bruce, it's very simple to me. Number one, when people are undereducated, they're more manipulable. So I think if somebody's kid is not going to be able to get and I agree with you. It is the single question I ask myself the most. When somebody's kid cannot get help, proper health care, and they come out of their home and yell at the top of their voice, it's socialism, I tell you. I don't think they have any idea what they're talking about. But I do think that that's why a lot of these AM radio stations have been bought by the conservative right. And by the way, their numbers are going down, not up. Ours are going up. Why is that? Because they wanted the means of communication so the Hannitys and those other guys were able to go on again and again and spew the hate, spew all the other stuff, and basically say to people what and capitalize on the on their lack of knowledge. So what can I say? That's my answer.
And by the way, you're absolutely right. It's all about the courts this year.
Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate
Thank you.
It. Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Chris in Warrensburg. Okay, Chris, you're on.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Good.
Good. I just want to comment that I think that we need to shy away from the two-party system, and that maybe even five parties representing. You see the Tea Party with the right, that more people are feeling that the Republican Party isn't representing the right. And you obviously hear from the left that, you know, Democratic Party isn't really representing some of the left. So I think, like, maybe a five-party system would be well for this country. And I would just like to go back to what a caller mentioned earlier about the gays and Romney and Israel. It's hard to compare the economic growth with Israel and the Palestinians, considering that Israel has them basically in an occupied open-air prison.
Okay, but Chris, I wanted to ask you something. It's an interesting concept, but obviously in order to understand why there are only two parties, you have to understand the Electoral College.
And yeah, exactly.
Yes. So yep. unless you change that, and we'll leave the other
sure.
stuff alone. But
it's pervasive, isn't it?
You know, but basically, the more parties, I'm always delighted when there's another party. When Ross Perot ran, you know, that election, I said, good, you know, that'll take a certain amount of votes away from the guy that I want to have elected. So if you had four or five or six under the present rules, it could, in fact, ruin the chances of the person who has the closest idea to what you want. Now, I'm not saying that I think Obama has been a perfect president. I don't think he has. I like him. I like him a lot. But I don't think he's been a perfect president. I think he could have been more daring. I think he could, like Franklin Roosevelt, have asked for more things, and it would have solidified his base. And people would have a sense that at least he thought he had some answers. That's where
just deconcentrate power, you know? Well, you're right. It does take in the Electoral College, and, you know, the pervasivity of the two-party system is through, but I agree.
Chris, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Vanya in Saratoga. I'll bet I messed up that name. Is it Vanya?
Donna.
There's a V up there, unless my eyes are really bad. Go ahead, Donna.
Vanya sounds much more interesting than
Donna. I don't know many Vanyas. Yeah, go ahead.
Enjoying the program very much today, Alan. Great, You've had some interesting callers, but
yes.
I had to speak to the second Beth that said that Mr. Obama, and it's Mr. Obama, not Obama Beth, is a Chicago politician. I lived in Chicago for 16 years until 10 years ago today when I moved back here to the Capital District. And the guy that just went to prison, Ron Blagojevich, that's your typical Chicago politician. And the reason that Mr. Obama has had some ineffective problems in the presidency is due wholly to the parties that are running Congress right now, okay? Congress has done everything they can do to stop any program, anything he's done, from being effective. So, A, no, he's not a Chicago politician, and B, look at your Congress, look at who you vote for and put into Congress, and then you tell me who could run a presidency with those kind of nut jobs in Congress.
Donna or Vanya, I really appreciate the call. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah. 1-800-348-2551. There is one free phone open. It's been left open by Vanya's leaving us. Okay, so let's go to Steve in Newburgh. No, there are no free phones right now. Go ahead, Steve. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to say that, like, if you look back at Mr. Obama's run, he really did try to do some things differently. But I think because of everyone else wanting to do things the same, that he wasn't able to get through a lot of what he wanted, because he can be all for change. And I think he did try to be different. Everyone else impeded any kind of real progress. I mean, and as the gentleman a couple calls back said about their problem being with the two-party system is, you have to try to find people that are in-betweens, and nobody votes for in-betweens. People vote for the more polarized candidate. If we had more options, people would have a more breadth to be able to say, where does this fall within my party? So the multi-party system would benefit us if a leader who's strong enough to say, I want change, there'd be a more varied group of people able to voice and back up that change.
Well, that might be so, but this is not Australia. I mean, we have a constitution. You know that. And the constitution lays out the electoral college, and the electoral college is what leads to this. Now, I think I take a little bit of a difference with you. I think Obama could have expressed what you think he meant a little bit more forcefully, because I think what happens is you get a Jerry Brown in California and he comes on and it turns out he's sort of namby-pamby. Then you get Ronald Reagan, and Ronald Reagan says, I can do this. And people say, I don't care whether he's right or left. I want somebody who says he can do it and does it. Now, I think some of the disappointment with Obama is that there isn't progress and that it doesn't look like this will change. But the answer, in my mind, certainly isn't Mitt Romney. But in any case, Steve, that's what it is.
Well, I mean, when you say the Constitution is what backs it up, we can change the Constitution.
Oh, sure you can. You ever try to amend the Constitution? I mean, you know, it would be, and you'd have to have an awful lot of people who would agree with you to do that. And you say, we want to amend the Constitution so you have multi-party candidates, you know, Macy's window, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, when you have a lot of people saying that they're not happy with the system.
Yeah.
And they're tired of voting for the lesser of two evils.
Yep.
Why would it that enough people wouldn't want to say, give us more options so, you know, if they are all evil, it's not the lesser of two. We can find a more moderate approach.
Because, Steve, I'm sorry for giving you the rush, but I want to get to the others. But in fact, there are many countries that have had multi-party systems, and they are not examples of democracy. You have, in fact, in Israel, for example, right now, the religious right calling the shots. And they're a tiny little party, but because in the other two to organize, they have the balance of power. You get Australia, you get Tasmania, you know. You got Italy. Until they cleaned up their act a little bit, and it didn't work. Hey, Steve, you know what? That's a very good full program. I'm going to ask Patrick Donges to make a point about this so we can have that discussion. Ways to amend the Constitution. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a good one.
Yeah. Let's go to Betty in Albany. Betty, you're on.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
I have a question.
Yep.
How can any Republican...
Yeah,
including Romney, get anybody from the 99% to vote for them when Romney has said he wants to eliminate Social Security, that's our old age security,
or change it anyway. Yeah,
yeah, he wants to repeal Obamacare. So, yay, the middle class and the poor people want to give up their health care. He wants to end Medicare or change it or whatever. And he wants to appoint four Supreme Court justices or however many, and pretty probably pay them to eliminate any remaining freedoms and rights we have. How does he do it? I mean, what is it, brainwashing? Or are people...
Well, I've addressed, Betty, that to some degree by telling you that when you buy all of the commercial radio stations, or many of them, and have the Hannitys and the Limbaughs and the other guys just yelling at people all the time, some of them are going to believe it. It's just plain propaganda. But the other thing is, think about all those people who think the idea of having a lottery is a good idea. They've got no chance to win, right? But in the back of their minds... they keep on spending that money, including me, because they think they're going to win.
I won $2 the other day.
See, there you are. And how much did you spend over the years? Betty, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Let's go to Mike in Rhinebeck. Mike in Rhinebeck, you're on.
Hello?
Hey, Mike. Go. You're on. Hello, Mike?
Hello?
Are you there, Mike? I think he's on a cell phone.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Mike. Okay, we're going to let Mike go. Thank you very much. We'll go to Chris in Amherst. Chris in Amherst, you're on.
Yeah, hi, Alan. Yeah. I think sometimes religion matters in an election.
You bet it does.
I don't think if I said that Jews think differently than Christians and Christians think differently than Muslims, I'd be offending anyone. But, you know, in terms of religion mattering, you know, if Jim Jones is running for president, that would matter. Now, one of the things that bugs me about Romney's trip to Israel is that my understanding is that recently that Anne Frank's DNA was baptized into the Mormon religion.
Well, I think there was that. There was that at the beginning, and there was a tremendous hue and cry about post-mortem, baptizing Jews who had died in the Holocaust into the Mormon religion. That is true.
Right, and I believe Eli Wiesel even went to Romney and said, "Man, you got to distance yourself from that," and he didn't. And I find that appalling. I find the practice of taking somebody's DNA and baptizing them into a different religion is the equivalent of spiritual rape and kidnapping, and I find it unconscionable. And I can't believe someone who would go for this stuff is running for president.
Chris,
it seems Jim Jonesy to me. It's like what?
Chris, thanks for the call.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, let's go to Tom in Bennington. Tom in Bennington, you're on.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for the program.
Sure.
I would agree, you know, Mormonism is a problematic religion, but every church has its skeletons in its closet. I just think two terms has proven historically to be problematic, whether George Bush or Clinton or Reagan. Corruption sets in, so I think we do a lot better with change, and frankly, I wish Obama had dealt with tax reform instead of health care reform. I think tax reform is way overdue, way too complicated. They should make the wealthy pay their fair share.
Tom, what are you going to do in this election?
I might vote for a third-party candidate like Ron Paul. Conceivably,
Ron Paul
is
not running.
Yeah, I might vote for Romney. I don't feel good about Obama.
Okay.
I don't think he's the sort of vibrant intellectual force that I would be comfortable with. And Romney, you know, I think the ideal would be having you know, Congress and the other side, you know, a heavy Democratic Congress with a Republican president, or a heavy Republican Congress with a Democratic president. I think opposition is real healthy for
okay.
this democracy.
Tom, I'm delighted you called. You're the first Romney call.
Okay.
And I think it's important that everybody checks in. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Yep. Let's go to Chris in Orange County. Chris in Orange County, you're on.
I'd just like to say I love the program you do. Public radio is a bastion of sanity and reason in an increasingly insane place. And thank you for doing the show every day.
And, Chris, thank you. I'm being joined in the studio right now by the Iron Man here, Ray Graff, who does so many of these shows and who is even better at it than I am.
I thank all of you at WAMC and WNYC, you know, our brothers to the South.
Yeah.
I'd like to say I think the idea of having a multi-party system is beautiful from an ideological point of view. I love, you know, what Germany does and how they have to get their laws passed, but that's not how we work. You know, we have black and white, and I think that all the callers who keep saying that they're not going to vote for anybody, you're wasting your vote, no matter who it's for.
Well, I certainly agree with you, as you probably know.
Absolutely. I mean, I will be voting for Obama for a second time this election, and for a number of reasons. He wasn't perfect. His stimulus was rather anemic. You know, he should have taken on tax reform more seriously. But I mean, the Supreme Court, there's three justices need to be replaced, and Romney's not the person to do it.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank
you. I appreciate it. We got to go. The program is basically over. I want to thank some people. Thank to Jim and Jay and Mike who are left on the line. I never like to do that. I try to move people along so we can get to everybody, but we didn't today. So the support for the Vox Pop comes from the Co-Festival of Performance, Amherst, Massachusetts, presenting a season of original theater curated on the themes of age, aging, and ageism on the Amherst College campus, KOFEST.com. Calm, and the Hygeia House, Block Island, Rhode Island, simply newly restored Victorian B&B, 10 rooms with ocean view and private bath, walking distance to beach and town, continental breakfast daily, thehygeiahouse.com. The Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, celebrating 30 years of educating children and striving to inspire a lifelong love of learning, waldorfsaratoga.org. And Boyden and Perron, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services and a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years. Boyden and Perron and Perron.com. Thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Colleen O'Connell. Our producer is the knowledgeable Patrick Donges.
Yes.
Yes, I'm Alan Chartok. And open his mic and stay tuned now for a news update. And remember where we are. Ray Graff will be with you in just a second to give you pearls of wisdom.